As we continue looking at the early church in the book of Acts, we are continually coming across firsts. Pentecost was the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then we had the first sermon by Peter, the first miracle with Peter and John, the first revival of the church, the first persecution, the first arrest, and the first jailbreak. Today we come across two more firsts. The first deacons in the church and the first martyr of the church. This morning we will focus upon the life and ministry of Stephen. The name Stephen means crown. If anyone deserved a crown, it was Stephen. We'll be doing a flyover view of chapter 6 and 7 because Stephen gives a testimony that covers 18 centuries of Jewish history, which we do not have time to cover in one setting. But let us begin by starting with Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the problem was this. The Hellenistic Jews were Greek-speaking Jews. They were the out-of-town Jews who came to Jerusalem during the Passover and then converted to Christianity on the day of Pentecost, and they stayed there. The Hebraic Jews were those who were born and raised in and around Jerusalem. They saw Jerusalem as theirs, and they looked at the Hellenistic Jews, the Greek-speaking Jews, as out-of-towners, kind of like foreigners. In those days, women who were widows did not inherit their husband's social security checks or 401k plans. There were no welfare checks from the government, no food stamps. Instead, they were dependent upon the care of the community to have their daily needs met. And the Hellenistic Jews were saying that their widows were being neglected in this distribution of food. So in a sense, we have another first, the first church squabble. Murmuring broke out, it said. There's nothing like murmuring in the church to cause dissension and strife. Goodness knows there's been a lot of murmuring in the church over the centuries. Maybe you and I have even had the privilege of being a part of it. Murmurings must be dealt with before they become out of control forest fires. So here we can see the very early growing pains in the church needing to develop an organizational chart to meet the needs of an ongoing explosion of new believers. Now, over the years, the church would develop into much more than that, become a gigantic institution, even an empire at one time, hundreds of denominations. I'm quite certain it has become much more institutionalized than God ever intended. Nevertheless, this was a move for the early church, a necessary move. They appointed 7 men to handle this distribution of food. They laid their hands on them and prayed for them and put the entire operation in their lap. The first name Luke mentions in his recording is that of Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Next, we come to the job that Stephen was doing as he carried out his duties of delivering this food. From verse 8, we read, "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people." Here, all he was called to do was to deliver food to widows, but instead wound up doing much more than what he was called to do. This verse shows us much regarding the ministry of lay people in the church. Just because you're a delivery boy or a bus boy waiting on tables does not mean you are insignificant and cannot be used by God in a powerful way. If you're a believer and full of the Holy Spirit, then God can and wants to use you as an instrument in His kingdom. While visiting the homes of widows and other needy people, after a while, it says, the busboy Stephen began to do great wonders and signs among the people. The apostles kept preaching to the masses, but now Stephen and his fellow deacons are waiting on widows. They could enter into their homes and spend quality time with them, praying with them, explaining the scriptures to them, not only delivering love gifts of food, but they took the time to talk and pray. Don't ever discount your situation in life. God can use you in ways to reach people that no one else could reach because of who you are and where you live and what you do. Stephen had a heart that loved God and others. But then, there's always a but then in the early church. As Christians, it is important to remember that when God starts blessing, the devil starts messing. God began using Stephen in a powerful way, performing signs and wonders. So then what happened? We read on. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Now this opposition is right out of the same playbook they used against Jesus. Let's dig up some lies and some dirt. Stephen needed to be stopped at any cost. He's having too much of an impact on the community. At this point in the ministry of Stephen, we begin the transition from busboy and deacon waiting on tables to martyr. The church's very first martyr. But before we move on, let's look at the word martyr. It comes from the Greek word martyria, which means testimony or to bear witness. Today, we have a distorted view of what a martyr is. A martyr is not someone who is simply willing to give up their life or commit suicide for the sake of a cause. Kamikaze pilots in World War II were not martyrs. The 9/11 perpetrators were not martyrs. They were murderers. A person who straps a bomb on their body and blows themselves up in a crowd or on a bus full of people on behalf of a faith or cause is not a martyr. They are a murderer. But Stephen was a true martyr. A martyr is not someone who's looking to kill themselves on behalf of their faith or for a cause. Rather, a martyr is someone who dies from the hand of others because of their faithful witness. They die because of their witness. A martyr does not seek death. Rather, a martyr simply seeks to live out a true faith and be a genuine witness. Giving a testimony based upon a spirit of love, not hate. True martyrs have love in their heart, not hate. True martyrs are true soldiers for Jesus. Let us look at the defense of Stephen to see how a true martyr lives. Not dies, but lives. Stephen is arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin to defend himself from the false accusations made against him. That is what they said. This is what they said in verses chapter 6, verse 12 through chapter 7, verse 1. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Then the high priest asked Stephen, "Are these charges true?" Well, at this point, Stephen launched into a sermon slash witness slash testimony. He began with Abraham, worked his way all through Jewish history, linking Jesus to the patriarchs and to the prophets and to a place, that place being the temple. It's a detailed account of the history of the Jewish people. He demonstrates that he has a clear and accurate understanding of Scripture, more so than the Sanhedrin who are examining him. You know, if you don't feel like reading through the entire Old Testament, hope you do, but if you don't, just go to Acts 7 and you can read Stephen's cliff notes of the Old Testament. He covers all the main points. And so the first quality of a genuine martyr is that they have the Word of God hidden within their hearts. He didn't say, "Wait a minute, I'm going to pull out my Bible here and read it to you." He had it in here. You cannot give a testimony about Jesus if you first do not understand the Scriptures. Stephen, though he was just a busboy waiting on tables, was also a powerful witness of the faith. God wants you to be a powerful witness for Him. But do you pick up your Bible and read it? You do not need a seminary degree to be an expert on the Scriptures. You just need to pick it up, read, pray, ask God to enlighten your understanding. And the pages of Scripture hidden in your heart. The Sanhedrin were no doubt impressed with Stephen's accurate understanding of the history of God's people. And if he would have just stopped right there, perhaps things may have turned out differently that day. But he didn't. The Holy Spirit led him on. Let us pick it back up towards the end of his testimony as he talks about the temple and what he has to say to those who were putting him on trial. In Acts 7, verses 44 through 53. "Our ancestors had the tabernacle of the covenant law with them in the wilderness. It had been made as God directed Moses, according to the pattern he had seen. After receiving the tabernacle, our ancestors under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me?' says the Lord. 'Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things?'" Okay, so here we go. "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it." Well, that was a little too much for his accusers to take. Let's just say the courtroom at that point reached a Colonel Jessup moment. You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. And they could not. Just because someone cannot handle the truth does not mean that you keep it from them. A martyr not only knows the truth, but they also do not keep that truth hidden within their hearts. A martyr does not live in fear. Rather, they proclaim the truth with boldness. If we look back a few verses, we read in chapter 6, verse 7, something very interesting that was happening during that revival. It says, "So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." Did you catch that? A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The Sanhedrin, they were losing their army. The priests were converting, believing in Jesus. The priests were accepting the truth. Stephen went out on a limb and hit the Sanhedrin right between the eyes with the truth of the gospel, with the intent of perhaps waking some of them up to the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. And that's what it took. He had to be bold. A martyr, a true Christian, does not live life seeing just how safe they can play it. Simply put, a martyr is someone who loves God and others more than themselves. That was Stephen. He risked it all to deliver the truth. Yes, in a very bold fashion, but it was the only way to get through to those who were determined to stop his witness. You know, Stephen was just like a Pony Express horse. He ran and ran and ran with the truth of his whole heart until he could run no more. Those little horse Mustangs back in the day, they would just run and run until they would drop. And he gave his life because he loved God more than himself. So they stoned him. It goes on to say, "When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul." We'll hear about him later. "While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' When he had said this, he fell asleep." We cannot help but notice that Stephen died with forgiveness and love in his heart. He prayed for his enemies as he laid his body down. You know, Jesus on the cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And Stephen said the same because the spirit of the resurrected Christ lived in his heart. So we're challenged this morning by the life of a martyr to love God more than ourselves. Not to go out and see if we can get ourselves killed for Jesus, but we're challenged to live like a martyr in the sense that we love God more than ourselves. That's all a martyr is. Tertullian, the great theologian of the second century, said that the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. Are you one of those seeds today? Do you love God more than yourself? That is a great challenge. But impossible? No. Stephen shows us the way. For with God all things are possible. Thanks be to God for Stephen, and thanks be to God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.